News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Welcome to Countdown 2024. There are now 56 days until the election. We have conservative political titans Bill Kristol and Stuart Stevens coming up on today's show, where the focus will be all about the debate tonight in what could prove to be one of the most pivotal nights of this presidential campaign. But first, let's take a quick spin around the political world for the latest.
Tonight's debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump in Philadelphia is the only one that's scheduled before Election Day, so this kind of feels like an understatement, but the stakes especially high. In a likely attempt to get under Trump's skin, Vice President Harris bringing two former Trump White House staffers to the debate tonight as her guests. Let's see how that plays out. One of them is former Trump Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci, and we're actually going to be talking with the Mooch right here on Countdown 2024 on Friday.
Yes, and indeed, he will be here on Friday. Donald Trump, by the way, called into NBC News this morning for a kind of brief interview. He said he doesn't know what to expect from Harris tonight, given her recently changing positions, he says, on several key issues. Trump campaign sources say the former president will not try to hit Harris for flip-flopping. I like saying that, flip-flopping.
You do like that.
Yeah, I do. but rather attempt to tie her to her most liberal positions on issues like immigration and fracking.
And in some other non-presidential campaign political news, the House Republican majority put forward a spending bill that would keep the federal government up and running in exchange for approving a bill that would require voters to present proof of American citizenship. It looks like that's likely going to fail, and the government, again, in danger yet again, here we go, of shutting down at the end of this month.
Well, the record for a TV audience watching a presidential debate, that came in 2016 when Hillary Clinton squared off against, Donald Trump, and an estimated 84 million Americans tuned in. Tonight's Trump-Harris debate could just eclipse that. Bill Kristol has been a presence in national Republican politics since 1970. When he was an intern at the Nixon White House, that was a while ago, he went on to work in the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations, eventually founded the Weekly Standard. Kristol now finds himself at the Bulwark and is now finding himself with us here on Countdown 2024. Bill, there are some people who are saying the debate tonight is, the most important thing since the creation of the universe. Is it that? Is it where is it on the spectrum of important events?
Yeah, it's certainly the most important debate since the last debate. And the last debate was kind of important, right? No other debate in our history has knocked the presidential nominee out of a race. And so we've sort of taken that for granted now that, of course, it's Harris and Trump. But, gee, it didn't seem like it was going to be Harris and Trump on June 27th, just before the Trump-Biden debate. So I do think this could be the year where the two most important presidential debates, usually they don't change that much, but obviously the first one did. And the second one really could determine, I think, who wins the presidency.
And for Kamala Harris, she has the struggle of having to really show the American people who she is, because in the vice presidency, right, you're often in the background, in the shadow of the president in many ways. And that's what a lot of people are waiting for, at least those who are still on the fence about who they might cast a vote for. And this is being described, I've seen, as the biggest moment of Kamala Harris's political career. It feels like she has both more to lose and at the same time more to gain from tonight, right?
Yeah, I very much agree with that. Usually a presidential nominee, sometimes it's an incumbent president. Usually, if it's not the incumbent, it's usually someone who's won a bunch of primaries that year, has debated his or her opponents a dozen times. Think of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, or Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, or Donald Trump and all the Republican nominees, right? Harris, because of the weird circumstances in which she took over, people might remember a little bit from those 2019 Democratic debates, but that was early on. There were like 20 candidates. Remember, they split them up into two tiers. Yeah. No one remembers that much. And if you don't remember that, you might remember the VP debate with Pence in 2020. And otherwise, you haven't seen Vice President Harris, except for that convention speech, for an extended period of time. So I think a lot of Americans legitimately are sort of saying, well, I've seen little clips of her on the news. I saw her read a good convention speech, but let's see how she does, you know, under pressure for 90 minutes.
Okay, so as you know, on this round, just like the last debate with Joe Biden, the mics are going to be off when the other person is talking. They're not going to be allowed to move around. And, you know, in the Clinton-Trump debate, as you remember, you know, he was sort of stalking her.
Behind her,
all the time. And she got quite flustered by that, she said. He's not going to be able to do that. Does this help him in a way? Because he's now going to have to focus on policies and things that he usually doesn't really like talking about, or does it hurt him?
I mean, I can't tell. I was skeptical when the Biden team insisted on the no mic, no interruption rule, you know, dead mics rule. For the first debate, it didn't really matter because of Biden's performance, I suppose. I don't know. I don't personally like the idea, as someone who's against Trump, of Trump being able to just speak for 2 minutes with no interruptions, no one even being able to say, wait, that's not quite correct. Obviously, you can't have massive interruptions in a debate, but he can tell an awful lot of lies in 120 seconds. And then you're putting a pretty big burden on Vice President Harris to quickly rebut some of the lies or stipulate that they're lies and then make her own points. She's got a tricky task. It's a challenge. You know, she's got to continue the introduction of herself to the public, lay out an agenda that's different from simply defending the Biden-Harris administration, a forward-looking, future-oriented agenda, and hit back, you know, stiff-arm Trump where necessary. And, you know, it's easy for me to ask people like me to sit here and say, well, that's what she should do. She should do all three of those things. But in the real world of a presidential debate with all that pressure, not so easy.
Right. But Bill, in fairness, doesn't she have the same issue that because, you know, she has a lot of policies from her past that have radically changed, and I don't use the word radically with any intent, but they have radically changed from 2020. And with Trump not being able to interrupt her, that also is an issue, isn't it?
No, it's a good point. I mean, it obviously can help or hurt either of them. My view about her task, above all, is she needs to speak to, it's 90 minutes, right? Let's assume the moderators and the, you know, time of throat clearing takes 10 of those 90, she gets 40 minutes, probably 10, 12 questions and rebuttals. She needs to speak to the American public. As much as she'll need to stiff-arm Trump a few times, she'll need to answer the moderator's questions, obviously, but mostly she needs to think of this as, I've got about a half an hour of time to explain to a lot of Americans who haven't seen me that much, certainly haven't seen me that much recently. Maybe they saw the convention speech, but I think that was around 25 million people. This will be 50, 70, something like that, people who haven't seen me at any length, and explain to them who I am and why I should be president and what my agenda is for the future. I think she's got to stay focused on that. If she gets into the tit for tat with Trump, she might do fine. She's a smart person and tough person and all that. But I think that's the test. She has Trump. Everyone knows. Everyone has an opinion. I'll put it this way. I don't think Trump's favorable or unfavorable numbers will go up or down much after this debate. Yeah. Hers could continue to go up, as they have been in the last 5-6 weeks, or not.
You know, CNN citing some sources that, you know, we talk about Hillary Clinton and she debated Trump, obviously, back in 2016, that Clinton actually thinks baiting Trump into self-destruction is one of the best things that Harris can do, and that Trump is being advised not to respond if she gets under his skin. Do you think he would be able to control himself, or does he have to because the mics are going to be muted?
Well, one thing is the mics will be muted. I mean, I don't know. He'll say a few things he shouldn't. His advisors will squirm a little. I don't like that baiting him into self-destruction. That just sounds to me like she can win this race if she is compelling, I believe. People don't want Trump. Majority of Americans don't want Trump. It's been pretty clear that there's a kind of more natural majority, you might say, who would go to Harris. And she's 20 years younger, and she's the future. And it's not the Biden-Trump race as people didn't want. So I think she has a bit of a natural advantage. And that means she needs to sell herself, if I can put it that way. You can, baiting Trump, if you start down that road, you can end up in a pretty, you know, silly place with a lot of back and forth. And people say, I don't know, people say Trump's kind of a, you know, a wild man and undisciplined, but she was getting into it with him like that. And
right.
we don't want that.
But Bill, when you say the majority of Americans don't want Trump, is that really true? I mean, if that were the case, why is this, according to the polls, such a close election? I mean, it's by a hair.
No. I don't like that fact, and I'm very much against any overconfidence. I just mean a simple empirical statement that he lost the popular vote two times. He lost it by more in 2020 than he lost it in 2016. And then if she can preserve the 2020 vote distribution, she beats Trump. So I don't mean that he's running even. I agree with that. I still think she has more upside than Trump does.
Bill Kristol, thank you so much for joining us here on Countdown 2024. We will continue with Stuart Stevens, who helped George W. Bush prepare for his presidential debates. That's coming up in just a few minutes.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And we are back. She's Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman, at least last time I checked.
Yeah, last time I checked, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. This year's presidential election between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump could be as close, maybe even closer. Do you remember that? The infamous 2000 contest between Al Gore and George W. Bush. We all know how that shook out.
We have to remember all the way back to 2000 now?
That was a long time ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. Tonight's debate could prove to be a pivotal moment in this neck-and-neck race. So it is especially fitting that we are talking right now with Stuart Stevens. He was in the leadership of George W. Bush's 2000 campaign and helped to prep the eventual president for debates that year. Stevens has served as a media consultant to countless Republican campaigns and is now an advisor to the Lincoln Project. He joins us live now on Countdown 2024.
So let me ask you this. Can you, Stuart, take us behind the scenes, since you're an old hand at prepping people for presidential debates? What is happening today, do you think, with both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris?
You know, it's interesting. In 2000, I did debate prep for both then Governor Bush and Dick Cheney, and they had completely different styles that they liked to prepare. Dick Cheney liked to do complete run-throughs. He liked to do them at the time of night that the debate was going to be. He wanted people to sort of dress up so it wouldn't seem like something you were doing in the living room. We rented a dinner theater in Jackson Hole so he could be on stage.
Wow.
And George Bush was exact opposite. He hated run-throughs. He liked to take one question and then ask five, six, seven different follow-up questions. So you could take one subject and really do a deep dive. He would compare it to baseball and call it a pepper drill. But, you know, they both had good debates. You know, I'm a little bit of a contrarian here on Trump. I suppose in part for spin that on the Harris side, there's a lot of talk about Trump being a good debater. I think he's actually a terrible debater and has lost every debate he's ever been in, except the last one, which was disastrous for President Biden. But if you take aside President Biden's performance, I think Trump had a horrible debate. Whereas I think the vice president had a great debate against Mike Pence. And I think that she's going to do very well tonight.
Do you think that perhaps the former president, Trump, is not as good a debater? Because, you know, he doesn't seem to like to prepare. I think he's done a little bit of it leading up to this debate. I mean, then he skipped all the debates during the primaries. I mean, do you think that is what makes him not as good a debater?
I don't think he's a very good debater because he doesn't have an organized mind and he can't articulate coherent thoughts in any sort of consistent way. And he's always been that way, at least, you know, since he started running in 16. He has no philosophy or theory of governance to fall back on. It's just this sort of emotion and what he's feeling. And I think that comes across. You know, my bet is that tonight what you're going to come away with is you had one guy who really does not respect the vice president. He doesn't respect women, particularly black women of power. And I think that's going to be a really dominant image of going to be left with the public.
But Stuart, do you think that a lot of voters, maybe many voters, really care about the philosophy and the policies and all that? I mean, we live in an age where sort of it's political theater, these debates. They're not even really debates. Isn't the entertainment value, frankly, what a lot of voters are looking for? And whoever is the most entertaining is the one that they go, yeah, that's a pretty good president.
Well, I think that debates are still arguments. And you need to have a theory of your argument. So if you take like Donald Trump in the debate that he had with President Biden, his argument on abortion was that the public overwhelmingly supported the repeal of Roe v. Wade. Well, that's just not true. I mean, we know that's not true. So he can't articulate that. Whereas I think that if you have with Harris, there's a she's had changes in position, but everybody does. But I think her view of government and the fact that government can be helpful to people and play an important role is something that is consistent and will come across.
And do you think the fact that she is a career prosecutor will only make that even better for her? Because you talk about a debate being an argument, right? I mean, that's what she did in court.
Yep. You know, my theory of, debate prep is to try to figure out what the candidate does best and help them do that better and just make sure they don't lose on the other stuff. And what does she do? Exactly what you said. She prosecutes people. She's vice president and probably likely president, and to a large degree, probably because of her skills in congressional hearings, the way that she could formulate questions. So, you know, I would say go into that mindset as a prosecutor and prosecute Donald Trump, not just being for being a criminal, but for being a failed president. And I know a lot of people say, no, don't get into this with Trump and all of that. I don't think that's the way to go. Usually the most aggressive candidate wins a debate.
Stuart Stevens, longtime conservative political strategist. He's going to stick with us to talk about the finer points of presidential debating when we continue.
You are back now with Countdown 2024 with Charles Feldman. I'm Margaret Carrero.
And we're still with Stuart Stevens, a veteran Republican media strategist who is now at the Lincoln Project. Stuart, what's the best way that people can take in this debate? And I'm asking that because, you know, if you go way back to the Nixon-Kennedy debates, right, you know, people who listened to it on radio had a different impression of who won than the people who watched it on TV. Is it better to listen to this? And I'm not saying this because we're in radio and it's self-serving, but is it better to listen to the debate or watch it?
I think it's better to watch it. You know, probably this is going to set a record for viewers, and it's definitely going to set a record, I bet, for people who are watching the debate on their phones. So I think that, you know, sort of to be screen agnostic here, it doesn't really matter what screen, but I think it's important to see them. And, you know, in the when the Presidential Debate Commission ran debates, which no longer happens, they had a rule against cutting away from a candidate who was not speaking. So in other words, you would not have any reaction shots while the other person was talking. And there was a lot of talk in the last debate with President Biden that he didn't seem aware that he was still on camera when Trump was talking. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that's because before that has always been the rules, but now it's not going to be the rule. And you would assume that they're going to try to make this as gripping a television as possible and use reaction shots and try to frame moments that way.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said about body language too, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think the comfort level, you know, if you go back and watch, say, the Pence-Harris debate without sound, it's just clear that she is so much more comfortable than he was. And, you know, it's just worth noting how utterly bizarre it is, and what it says about the moment, that the last time Harris was on a debate stage was with Mike Pence, and they disagreed on about every issue. But what do they agree on now? Donald Trump should never be president.
I like your notion of maybe we should listen to the with no sound, just watch it and don't listen
right?
to it and at
then,
all.
And then make our judgments on that.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
That would be an interesting way of doing it.
I think it tells you a lot about those candidates and their comfort level at what they're doing.
I mean, they've never met and talked before. Do you see them shaking hands?
Oh, I would think so.
Well, Biden didn't.
I know. That's why I asked.
He didn't shake Trump.
I suspect this will be different. I think certainly Harris. Well, I really don't know is the answer. But I would be surprised probably if it didn't happen.
Stuart Stevens. Yeah. Thank you again for joining us here Countdown 2024, a veteran Republican media strategist who is now with the Lincoln Project. Tomorrow on Countdown 2024, we'll have a debate post-mortem with officials from the Democratic and Republican parties, plus California's senior U.S. Senator Alex Padilla is going to join us. Remember, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you happen to miss a show, we hope you don't, you can catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.